Welcome, my friends, to a new interview from Cuéntame USA with Moncho Camano. Today, we got the chance to chat with two of the members of the symphonic metal band from Chicago, Illinois, called Shield of Wings. Yes, Shield of Wings. They're from Chicago. And they're here. I got two other members. We got Elijah Day, and we got James Gregor, which Elijah plays the keyboards. She does harsh vocals, choruses. She does a lot of stuff. Moral support.
Yes.
Everything. Marketing, everything in between. And James plays guitar. She's a lyricist. He does all the composition, most of them compositions. So we got both of them. And then there are three other members. I'm going to mention them before I forget, because they are also part of the band. And if they're not there, that would be the whole Shield of Wings. It would be just 25% or maybe 50. I don't know. We got, there's Lara Mordian, which is, she's the lead singer, vocals. Then we got Alex Luke on bass. And then we got Pat Ulitz, is the drummer of the band. And I don't think I'm missing anybody. Unless
that's
they
everyone.
Just added a bagpiper or some other flute player on it. I don't think so. So, how are you guys? How is, are you both from the Chicago area? Just to start, you know, you're both from Chicago.
Yeah.
From the city or from the suburbs?
Suburbs. All of us are from the suburbs, but our bassist, who lives in Indiana, right over the border in the next state.
Mm-hmm. The drummer, Pat Ulitz and Mr. James Gregor, those are the original members, right? Left from the start.
That is correct, yes.
So we got James. Let me tell you, I listened to this band. It's been almost a year, a little less. And yeah, like everybody says, I thought they were from other country, not from the United States, to tell you the truth. Just, is the music, also the appearance. I don't know what it is. They're American, okay?
Indeed.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they know how to make, symphonic metal, death metal, folk metal, everything in between. They could do anything. So I'm expecting them to keep making good music, just, you know? So,
appreciate that.
Thank yeah. You. They are good players. And especially like James is the only the guitarist of the band. When there is only one guitar, there is no place to hide, you know?
Unfortunately, that is the case.
So, yeah. And I think James does a good job.
Appreciate that.
But he has a lot of experience because I think James started quite young. He's going to tell me, but for my research, he started like after her first communion almost. No, quite young. I don't know. Tell me, in high school, before high school, James, when did you start playing guitar? Or did you play any other instruments?
Yeah, before the guitar, the first instrument I learned was the trumpet, and I learned that in school. Mm-hmm. That was sixth grade. I'm not sure what my age was, but I did that 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I entered high school, I didn't want to be a part of the school band. So I decided to drop that. And when I was playing trumpet, I also picked up a guitar, but I didn't really know how to play it.
Mm.
And I would just fool around with it for a few years. And I really got more interested in playing the guitar and songwriting when I was in high school.
Okay.
So that was 2005-ish, around there.
Mm.
And then I just jumped into trying to start a band.
In high school?
Yeah.
Were your friends into the same type of music you were listening to, or they were all?
No, not really. I mean, because of the internet, I kind of was able to discover bands from faraway lands, and I downloaded quite a bit of music illegally, and I learned about bands like Children of Bodom,
right.
Nightwish, Dimmu Borgir, Epica, Dream Theater, this, to just to name a few. And yeah, once I heard that kind of music, I was like, man, it'd be really fun to write songs or music in this realm. So that's when I attempted to start writing music or writing songs.
So what caught more your attention, the lyrics or the music itself, or both?
Definitely the power of the music.
The power of the music.
I mean, I definitely appreciated the lyrics, but it was just the overall sound. It just gripped me.
What about, have you you saw videos of those bands and you enjoyed their stage presence, the way they look and the way they move on the stage? Is that also part of it?
Sure. I mean, I didn't know what some of those bands looked like because I just was downloading the music. But I think like the common element amongst like the bands that I mentioned all had some incorporation of symphonic elements. And when I was a young kid, that's what actually what I loved. I loved like the soundtracks of movies.
Okay.
So like The Lion King for, you know, Disney stuff was good, but
right.
Like the Braveheart soundtrack, I remember loving The Rock, Hans Zimmer, James Newton Howard, James Horner, those composers.
Right. So how are you, Eli? Do you both come from the same backgrounds, music backgrounds? Or you were when you were young, which still you are young, but
thank you.
Yeah, you look great. You look great. Were you listening more or less to when in high school? Let's say, what were you listening to?
So I guess I really didn't discover metal until, I guess it was around late high school. Mm-hmm. So around the age of 14, I discovered Evanescence.
Okay.
So my path was a little bit different from James's. I discovered Evanescence first on the radio, and the commonality in our journeys is the path of downloading music illegally.
I never did that. Never.
No. But you know, as a teenager, you're just trying to listen and explore things.
Right.
And, so I think particularly what led me to that was, Evanescence's first album Origin was not released. They had self-released that before Fallen, and there were so few copies of it that people were selling them for exorbitant amounts of money on eBay. So Amy Lee actually told her fans, just go out and download it. I don't want you paying this amount of money for an album that we just self-produced. So go out and download it. And that was kind of the catalyst for me to go download music. That led me to discovering Nightwish within Temptation. Right. Those were my core gateway bands. Again, they have both had like that symphonic element. They both had clean sort of classical style singing. And I was a vocalist from a very young age. So, and there was always that style of singing, more clean and classical. So, yeah.
I do want to clarify one thing.
Yes.
Though I did discover some bands from illegally downloading music, I did. Once I discovered them, I went out to the store.
I was going
to
ask you.
The physical copy.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you that, James.
I didn't know that a lot of those bands existed. And I couldn't find a lot of their music at the local Borders, but I did find some Nightwish albums. They had limited albums from their discography there.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that because I was going to ask you about the record shops, if they had those albums, the ones that you were listening to, because
mostly not.
Yeah, mostly not, right?
You can see.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. But most of the time I would have to, and you would probably have to as well, we'd have to mail order that stuff from Europe and pay lots of...
Of course, imports.
Just to get it over here.
Yeah. The imports, even from Japan, I was buying myself. So how do you guys met? Were you still... how long did it take you for guys to meet? Because you didn't go to the same high school, I guess. How do you...
Can I tell the story?
I was going to ask you how the band started, but now that I remember, before I forget, how do you guys met?
Well, kind of a funny missed connections story, kind of like how you found us and then found out about me on the podcast.
Right.
When I was in college, I started a band. 2009, 2010. And I actually tried to set up a show with Shield of Wings because I was in Indiana. Shield of Wings was in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And this was long before their long hiatus. Mm-hmm. So I tried to set up a show with them back in like 2010, and it never panned out. And then several years down the line, we just happened to meet online again and then meet in person for a couple more years. But yeah. So kind of a fun misconnection story.
So were you playing your band before? You played keyboards also, or you play other instruments?
No, I was just a lead vocalist in my
band. Oh, okay. So when did you start playing keyboards? You had a little Casio keyboard at home?
Well, I took some piano lessons.
Oh, okay.
My parents rented a piano.
Okay.
And I took some piano lessons as a kid, but I kind of fell out of practice for a long time. And I didn't really pick it up again until, I guess around 5 years ago, four years ago, when that seemed to be the role that fit best for me with Shield of Wings.
But, James, were you classically trained? You were in classical training, right?
No, I've never taken any lessons or anything.
Not even guitar?
No. Probably would have helped me if I did, though.
Oh, man, you did a good job by yourself.
Yeah, the extent of my music education was 3 years in trumpet, when I was in middle school.
You're not going to play trumpet in Shield of Wings, I don't think. No trumpet playing in Shield of Wings.
You have no plans?
Maybe, right?
I'm teaching audio.
Yeah.
Should I get closer to my microphone?
It wasn't loud on our end.
Okay. So, Eli, you joined the band in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. 2020. But like you were mentioned before, the band took a long pause, right? Since 2012? Is that the...
Correct.
Okay. So that has to do with the other members of the band? Were you trying to continue working with the band, but the other members had other things and in their minds, like other things to do besides playing music? Or do they have like a move somewhere else? Or what happened?
Yeah, for each band member, there was a different situation. Our drummer was finishing up college and he was trying to get his master's degree. And our bassist was also trying to continue his education. And I was trying to purchase a home at that time. So there was a lot going on for everybody. And we also parted ways with our previous vocalist around that time. So we kind of went on like just faded into a hiatus. It wasn't like a hard, all right, pause. And everybody kind of was entering adulthood, so to speak. And that was a lot. But in the hiatus, I was still writing a lot of music. I just didn't know if it would ever like go out into the world.
Yeah, but your plans were always to keep working in music. Like you always thinking, I'm going to get back to it and get into another band or form another band. That wasn't your plans.
I had hopes that the band would continue again, but we had to find the right vocalist.
Okay.
So.
So it just took some time for you to find the right vocalist.
I suppose so. When I met Aaliyah, she actually encouraged me to start, to continue processing all the demos that I had written.
Okay.
Because I wrote something like 40 something songs during the hiatus and she heard quite a few of them. So before we met Laura, Aaliyah originally started doing some of the vocals, demoing them.
Okay.
Because I had written the lyrics, I wrote out some vocal lines, but that only goes so far. So I started working with Aaliyah, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we get an email from Laura, and she saw an old advertisement.
They post on a musicians' social networking.
Who posted that? Aaliyah or you, James?
I posted a long time ago and I hadn't thought about it. And then she just happened to stumble across it. And she sent me an email and looked me up on Facebook. And she, you know, she just happened to be very near to us locally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we started working together. It was like magic.
So it was a perfect match when you saw her, the way she was singing or the way she looked or like a package. And she qualifies perfect. She fits, she's going to fit perfect in my the way I'm thinking of the band right now.
I think it was mostly her voice.
It's her voice.
Yeah. I only saw, she only had one picture online.
Okay.
And so.
It wasn't so much based off of that, but it was definitely very based on her voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we heard her, she had released her solo project, Mordian.
Okay.
They had an EP. She had an EP out and we listened to that. And, you know, her voice on that is very beautiful, emotional. Loved that. But we didn't make the decision until we heard her sing in person.
Mm-hmm. Did she sing any of your songs before? Or she did a cover? What did she do? The first thing she sang?
There was a little like open mic concert that we met her at. And she went there and did a karaoke version and sang Nightwish's Sleeping Sun.
Oh,
and song. When we heard that live, it's like that very impressive. Sense. So,
yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
We just knew.
I was going to ask you, James, how do you make your musical compositions? How do you structure a song? I mean, I imagine they're all different, but what's the basis of them? What are the ingredients needed to make it as a Shield of Wings song?
I think the key is a lack of structure.
Lack of structure.
Do
you do a lot of strumming, let's say, when you harmonic or your, how do you, or you don't need an instrument or everything just in your mind that you hear it in your head. And that's how you want to do it in an instrument or the
way you sing. I hear it up here and I try to fumble it out on the keyboard or guitar. I've had different approaches for different songs and I suppose that sometimes the lyrical writing is entwined in the actual, like at the same time as the song, but sometimes I'll write a song and then try to figure out what it's about.
That comes from, do you think that inspiration comes from the inside or from the outside, from the environment? And that's half and half.
A good question. Are we vessels for music?
Yeah.
Or, you know, do we create it or is it just, not to get too deep in.
It's just that data that you goes in your brain little by little and then just spits out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a clear answer for that, but like when I'm writing lyrics, it's mostly just, I don't know if meditating is the right word, but I'll go take a walk and in nature and I'll just do some meditating, thinking about life and trying to problem solve or explore certain thoughts. And I start seeing metaphors as I'm walking, like looking at things. And like I said, that's not always how it works, but that's probably,
do you need background music sometimes to create, other songs? Do you need background music or maybe, or it's better for you, the place to be quiet? Or you enjoy listening to background music also while you create?
I definitely like quiet.
You like quiet. And then a special moment during the day that's more fruitful for you?
Unfortunately, it's usually at night right before I want to go to bed. Because it interferes with like a normal sleep schedule.
Right. I think Leah is very busy. She seems to me that she's very busy. She has not much time to spend. She's always doing something and thinking. How many? I'm asking great questions that usually nobody asks. How many hours do you sleep at night, Leah?
Oh, how many hours do I sleep at night?
Yeah, more or less.
I always get at least seven.
At least seven.
Doctor's orders.
7 hours. And you, James, all depends.
Yeah, it does depend on the evening. Hmm. But probably closer to six, maybe seven.
Hmm. Or if it's more than six, it's perfect for me. It has to be more than six. It cannot be less.
Same. Same. I've tried operating on less than 6 hours before, and it just doesn't work.
Hmm. When you guys... James, I don't know. Think about a new project. Do you think what the first song is going to be, or that comes at the end when you have a bunch of songs, 10, 9, 11, and then you decide which one goes first, or you think about the one that goes first?
I don't usually write linearly.
Mm-hmm.
But like for the last album, Unfinished, that we came out with.
Right, 2022, have I heard, yes.
Yeah, out of all the demo songs that we chose, you know, there's like 40 to choose from. And when I played them for the band, picked these songs that we liked. And then it was trying to figure out the right order. Hmm. It wasn't like, there's just too many to choose from it. So we debated to try to figure out what it was, the right song to start and the right song to end with. And there was actually two songs that were supposed to be the first and the last that didn't make it on the album.
Okay.
They were both too long.
Okay.
And one was a perfect opener and one was a perfect conclusion. And they actually, the end of that song, I won't get into the weeds again, but,
yeah, no spoilers.
They didn't work out.
Those songs will be coming on another.
Yeah, they're coming. They're coming. No.
Mm. Yeah, we didn't leave them. We just put them on hold. So they'll probably be on another release in the future.
Okay. Let me tell you, I saw that video, like everybody. It's a great video. I don't know how much money you spent doing this, the Wetland video. It seems like you spent a lot of money, but at the same time, it seems like you didn't spend a lot of money.
No.
You know, it just came out great.
Thank you.
It caught my attention. I think James is... whose idea it was to put Lara in the sticky...
that would have been my idea.
Yeah,
you put her in a dangerous situation, I think. I don't know.
However, our first idea was to put a model, right? We hire a model to do this story sequence. Lara said, I can do it.
That's
so true. Lara chose.
She was. Yeah. It was her idea to go in there in the swamp.
Her idea to go in the swamp.
Mm-hmm. I told her what the script was that I wrote, and she said that she could do it. And I didn't protest. I said, all right, if you want to do it, then we're going to do it. But it's going to be very painful, actually, and uncomfortable because we shot it in the autumn and that water was quite cold that she was in.
So the next video will be done in warm weather, maybe, instead of... No, you don't know yet.
If we could plan it perfectly, maybe, but we'll see.
I don't know. The trend is actually pain and suffering for every video shoot we've done so far.
Well, Chicago is cold in the winter, so I don't know. We'll see.
And the winter is very long.
It's very long. So plenty of time to do videos in the winter time also.
But it was very low budget. Everything was shot right here in the town where I live.
Okay.
That location is actually about a 5-minute walk from my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you knew how the depth of the swamp and everything before you even...
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't that bad. Just... The sticky thing, the gook. No snakes, lizards, No gators.
No, it was too cold. Most things were in hibernation.
Yeah, nothing there. Maybe a dead body if, yeah, you know, somebody from the, no, let's leave it the way it is. I was going to say something which has nothing to do with the music. Just hopefully James won't come up with some dangerous situations in the next video. Little easy. It's not going to be a beach. I know it's not going to be a beach in the Caribbean. That's 100% sure.
No, that's Visions of Atlantis territory.
Which I think you guys play with Visions of Atlantis, right?
Yep.
We did, yeah.
They're a good band also.
Yep. They are, yeah. It was
Clementine.
Very pleasant people too.
Yeah, I missed their concert when they came during the pandemic. I was going to go. Then the pandemic came and they had a rough time going back to Europe. They never played the show in New Jersey. Ugh. Yeah, so I missed them that time.
They'll be back.
They'll be, I know. Let's see, I'm going to ask you, how hard is for the band to be truthful to your beliefs, to be competitive in the music industry?
What do you mean?
Like, you got your things that you want to do, and you won't give yourself out to the requests of other people or other, maybe a producer, maybe a record company, and you could change your mind and say, maybe if we do this, we're going to get more famous, but I don't like the way they're going to run it, or I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say? So you don't.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Fortunately, we haven't crossed any of those situations yet. So, but I mean, if they come, I think we'll stick to our guns.
For us, the expression, the artistic expression is the most important element. And if we were to compromise that, I think it would just. I think it would take away the point of doing it for us.
Okay. Okay. I agree with that.
We're all self-produced right now. We're not on a label yet.
Right.
So we're able to make all of our own decisions. And due to, just knowing what's going on, hopefully we can be proactive about making sure that if we do work with a label in the future, that we maintain the creative control.
How different it is from when you started, James, the band. Are you more careful with the things you do in the music? You gotta be more protective for your music, or you have to deal with contracts, and before you weren't paying much attention to that when you started, or?
I suppose we're more intentful now. Right, we're maybe, yeah. Like, we came out with an EP back in 2011.
Right.
And back then, I mean,
Solarian.
I wasn't really thinking about the big picture of things. I made like an EPK and sent it out to a few people, but there was no actual promotion of that album. It was just writing music, recording it, and throwing it on the internet just for the enjoyment of it. I suppose now, I guess, things are a little bit more thought out.
Right. You just published, you've been publishing on YouTube live performances from Mad with Power Fest in Madison, Wisconsin from the summer, I think it was. You've been putting out a live from that show in August 18th, I think it was. Yeah. You've been putting out songs, four of them right now, I think. They just put one out. The last one is Some Fire Shower, the last one, right? That just put out maybe a couple days ago, a day ago. I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just, Friday. Yesterday. Saturday.
Yeah, I think a couple of days ago. Yeah, they're really good. It's a great show. I wasn't there, but it looks great. A lot of people happy. very joyful, they look like. They were enjoying your band. How long does it take for you to set up your gear, approximately, more or less?
Well, we had a blast, I'll say that.
That was such a fun show.
To set up the gear, I don't know, we haven't really timed it, but...
We were in a situation, we were playing first, so okay. We were able to have our gear set up before, but we didn't have it timed. But I think that the changeover times for that festival were 15 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, about 15 minutes. It doesn't take us too long to get things plugged in.
Yeah, something you have to practice.
Right.
In and of itself. But so make sure that it's smooth and quick.
So you guys, they do everything yourselves, the four of you, or you got an extra guy with the cabling and stuff?
Us.
Not yet.
But yeah, no guitar techs.
How many guitars do you carry, James?
Sometimes just the one, but I'll usually bring a backup.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's not... One of the lesser enjoyable things about playing at this level is having to I don't mind hauling gear and plugging things in, but it's kind of sometimes stressful to get things plugged in and make sure everything's working properly right before you perform. It'd be a lot easier to just sit there and warm up on your guitar or warm up your vocal cords and not have to worry about that stuff. So
yeah, it can kind of affect your mindset as you're starting to perform.
Yeah,
right.
Indeed. And sometimes, if things aren't working properly, you get a little flustered and that affects maybe the first couple songs because your head's
somewhere else.
Yeah, you got some stress going on. Your mind gets cloudy.
Do you remember any particular concert in which everything had gone wrong?
Many. No big blunders yet, at least with this lineup of the band, but we've had technical difficulties, long ago where a keyboard stops working live or something like that. But
nothing major.
Nothing major so far yet, thankfully.
Do you forget any songs during the song that you don't remember what's next and you just try to hide it somewhere and go back to
not so much. We're only playing 5 or 6 songs usually per set. And I don't know. I haven't had any issues, but I can't speak for other people. What about you?
I mean, I have moments where it's more like I think I'm going to forget it. Like as I'm approaching it,
right?
I feel like I don't remember it. And then once the note hits, that's when I remember it and it's okay.
Right.
That's like the thing of nightmares, honestly.
Yeah.
Forgetting how to play.
When you think what's going to come next, that's when you forget. Maybe just keep going and see.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, to just keep rolling with it.
Right. I'm not going to talk about their album Unfinished because it was put out in 2022, February 11th. And a lot of people already talked. That's why I'm not mentioning much about the album. But, I don't want to repeat a lot of stuff. I know they're probably working on a new album, and it's been months that they've been working. It's not a couple. It's going to take a while before they put out something. But probably 2024, I guess. I don't know. But it seems like James has a big file of songs that they can go through them and choose the ones that are going to come next. I guess everything is secret. They have no idea how many singles they're going to put out, if it's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, nothing yet. So I know there is nothing they're going to tell me that I know. They got so much stuff.
Too early.
Too early.
Information on those things.
Right.
But yeah, some songs will be pulled from that old archive, but there are a number of brand new ones that are in the works that also a couple of them I'm working on in collaboration with our bassist, Alex, who's kind of leading the charge on those songs. So,
okay.
Yeah. There will be some variation in the writing methods for this album.
Okay. So are there going to be new instruments that you're going to, I don't know, because, you know, I know Leia Pele is the keyboards and does a lot of recorded soundtracks. I don't know, a lot of, they're not going to play with an orchestra next to them.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll do a live orchestra because of the cost that's associated with that, but we might incorporate more acoustic instruments into this next album to give it a more organic feel than using all keyboards to compose the orchestra.
Are you thinking about doing any instrumental songs? No, nothing like that, no? Maybe an opening or something like that?
Too early to comment on that.
Okay.
Do you like instrumentals?
Yeah, like an instrumental part before the first song, like an intro for, you know, 3 or 4 minute like intro. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They do it very well.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that are a little crazy. I don't know if they make sense, but whatever. First, do you have a cassette player?
No.
No cassette player.
I don't know.
Do you ever have one?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're pretty old. We're not that young.
Yeah. I had a cassette player growing up for sure.
Okay, but not an 8-track. That is going back a long time. not an 8-track.
Not quite that old yet.
Okay. Okay. If you had a chance to have a citizenship from another country, which one will you choose?
Interesting question.
Oh, that's a question.
Citizenship.
Mm. Yeah, if they gave you a passport and a citizenship, they tell you, well, you could be an American, but also somewhere else. You could still be an American, but you could be, from South Africa. I don't know. It's from South.
I'll admit that I'm very untraveled, so I'd have to be just going on a hunch of what countries interest me.
European country? If we have to go into a continent, will it be Europe or not? It could be
most likely Europe.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd fare too well with my only English in South America or or Asia.
Okay. So it'll be a European country.
Yeah, likely.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Maybe Denmark, Germany.
Wow. Okay. Denmark and Germany. Okay. What about you, Eli?
I get very...
Or Switzerland.
Switzerland. Okay.
I was going to say,
small country.
I get very attached to certain scenery, and Switzerland has
those mountains.
The fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale there. So yeah, definitely Switzerland has an appeal to me.
Small country too.
Yeah.
Very good. Switzerland. I was surprised. Okay.
What
were you expecting?
No, I thought you were going to say, well, Denmark is okay. I thought Denmark could be one of the places. I thought maybe, you know, like the usual, Finland or Norway or Sweden, one of those. That's what I thought. I wasn't expecting Switzerland.
Do you have an answer for that?
For me?
Yes.
I got two already. I'm from Spain and from the United States. So I got two. I could choose another one.
Third one, though. What would
it be? A third one?
Yeah.
I think James has it. Denmark.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think so. Another question.
I wasn't basing on economics or anything like that. Honestly, I'm not sure what's going on in those countries with the government.
Okay. I'm not going to talk about politics, but much better than this country.
The environment and the culture.
Yeah.
So. I don't like, you know, we're not going to mix politics with this, but Denmark is the right spot for me. And Switzerland also, okay?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. How much of your life happiness comes from making music? You have to put it in a...
In a percentage?
Yeah.
Mine? I mean, it's a different question for me because I don't really write music. I participate in music and participate in the music scene.
Yeah.
I would say I don't like to give it a lower number, but probably only around 50% because most of my happiness comes from the people that I have in my life.
Great answer, Leah, I think. James, you could say more, 60%.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if I could say a percentage, but I feel like it's very beneficial and for me and therapeutic. So ultimately leading to happiness in a way, but yeah, I don't really associate it with happiness all the time.
Okay. I have a question regarding that then. Maybe you, James, the answer, you can give me an answer. Leah too. Are you one who believes that to be a good lyricist, you have to have a somewhat unfurnished childhood or some kind of adversity?
Well, you'd probably have to ask a good lyricist.
Who said you weren't a good lyricist?
Jeez.
Come on.
I think that... a creative person, someone who is either introspective or very knowledgeable or both. Mm. Those things really help. I don't even know if I'm the right person to ask that question, but that's my answer, I guess.
Mm.
What do you think?
I mean, I think if you look in the world for someone for someone who has experienced no suffering, you're not going to find anybody. Everyone's got their own struggles. And some people, sure, have a more happy disposition than others. I think that what it takes to be a good lyricist, although I am not a lyricist, but my observation of reading good lyrics or singing good lyrics, I think that what he said about being introspective and thoughtful about life are the more important elements to that.
Mm. That, I guess that could be also applicable to any artist.
Yeah. Traumatic childhoods or traumatic pasts all can be material for, you know, exploration. You know, if you want to, you know, your therapy.
Yeah, but even in the worst days, good things will happen. That's also part, right?
Absolutely.
Mm. So what other chores or duties take your mind off out of creating music? What's on your other agendas besides music?
Well, for me, obviously, you're aware of the podcast.
Right. I started listening again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Find some interesting facts there and stuff.
But, yes.
For those who aren't aware of it, I
Heavy Business.
Heavy Business podcast. Yeah, it's a music industry focused podcast. And that takes a good chunk of my time. And I have a day job, graphic design.
Oh,
okay. In a corporate office.
That's why she's so busy. Do you guys keep in touch every day? Do you guys keep in touch every day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? What about with the other members? You guys get, you always in contact with the other members every day or once in a while, you a couple days?
Yeah, we have a chat online that we kind of communicate through. If anybody has something to share with the group, Everybody has access to it. So we have a fairly regular communication.
Yeah. But,
so James does a lot of house work, repairing things.
Oh,
you got hammers and drills, hammers, drills and saws.
Good guess.
Did you pull that from something on the internet?
No, I have no idea. You just told me that you bought a house. That's what I'm thinking. Well, if you got a house, like I got a house, I got to do a lot of stuff unless I pay somebody to do it.
Sure. Yeah. A house is definitely a lot to take care of, and it can definitely interfere with, creative ventures when you have a lot of mundane tasks to take care of. Hmm. But I thought you were saying that because of something I might have mentioned in an interview, that when I bought the house that I live in, I spent a year of my life remodeling it. It took beyond a year to like actually finish it, but like I gutted it down to the studs.
Wow. So you know how to repair anything. Can you put a new toilet? That was something easy. Let's say you could do it.
Sure.
Okay.
But yeah, but I mean, that's all kind of what I do outside of music. I worked a job for 10 years and I left that profession. And now I do video work and photo work.
So it's related to what you do also.
Yep.
That's good things. Okay. So, how many days do you guys practice in a week? Do you have set days to do your practicing?
We don't have a schedule if we're not performing.
Okay.
But if we are performing, then about once a week.
Do you have a studio? Somebody has a studio, small studio at the in the house or no?
Basements.
Right now we perform in my basement.
Okay.
But prior to that, we practiced at our drummer's house until he had two twin daughters come into the house, and that meant we need to relocate our practice space.
Right, yeah.
So, do you have any plans? What's coming next? Because the year is almost finished. It's almost ending. All the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving for next week. There's not much to do. It's not many days. There's a lot of Christmas and this and that, and it's not much time to do music. I don't know. Do you have anything coming up soon? Nah, not yet, right? You're still going to be working with your songs and writing and this and that and marketing future, future plans of things you could do, I guess, right?
Yeah, right now we're in the stage of creative process. So writing and working with older writings. So we're processing those currently, and we're not planning to do any shows for a little bit.
Okay. But if we could say the band is set, I mean, it's in good, the structure of the band is very, it's hard. It's not going to fall down and
stable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're happy with
as far as we know.
Yeah, everybody is ready to do whatever they have to do to make it.
All right.
Yeah. So there's no worries. That's what I'm saying regarding members of the band and thinking maybe they're gonna move and go to California or someplace and nothing like that.
Not that we know of. The only problem is just trying to find the time to do things.
Okay.
In a busy life.
Okay. How many in your area? Are there a lot of clubs, a lot of venues that you could play right now? Or did they close a lot of them during the pandemic and they never open? Or after the pandemic, even some of them closed?
Most of the venues didn't. I mean, closed temporarily, but none of them went on a business that I'm aware of. Maybe some bars closed.
Most of the venues are still around.
Yeah. Chicagoland, you know, which is very nearby and they have a lot of venues. So
Chicagoland is like referring to Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Yeah, there's a good number of small and medium sized venues for us to play at that play that host metal bands. So yes, enough.
Are you in contact with other bands that play similar music in that area, or not, there are not that many that play symphonic folk metal, really death metal?
In Chicago, not so much.
But there are some others in the States who are acquaintances with, and we stay in touch with.
Yeah.
Are you up to in the what's going on in the metal industry with all the new? You know, the new bands and or new records coming out, and are you checking them out or listening to their work, what they do, or really you don't care that much?
To an extent I do. I curate a symphonic metal playlist for the company that hosts my podcast.
Okay.
So I try to stay in touch with what else coming out in the melodic, symphonic and power metal realms personally. And then of course we stay in touch with the bands that we already like, but as far as discovering new bands, those realms are what I pay attention to.
I haven't been paying attention to too many bands, but the last new release that I paid, well, recent release that I paid attention to was another local band from Chicago called Dissona.
I don't know.
D-I-S-S-O-N-A. They released a EP, 3-track EP. And pretty solid stuff.
Yeah.
Progressive metal band.
Progressive metal. I definitely would recommend.
Really? Oh, I'll take a listen. Yeah, I have no idea about them. So much stuff out there. And I you know, I interview metal bands, but I interview blues bands and all kinds of bands. So it's hard to keep up with everything metal, you know. I'm missing a lot of stuff, but it's hard also. But I don't know. Shields of Wings is a great band. And I really enjoy what they do. And James is a good lyricist. He is. No matter what he says. And Leah, she's a tall on stage. You're tall, right? You're not.
I am tall.
You're tall. Yeah. You're like, I don't know if you're taller than James.
Yeah.
Right? Is. You're the tallest in the band? I don't know. I'm just.
Am I?
Could
Alex
be.
Alex is taller than
James.
Alex.
The bassist is tall. Bassist. The tallest, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, tallest. I'm the second shortest. You're the
That's why you're in the front. You cannot be in the back. Nobody was going to pay attention. You got to be in the front.
Yeah, you're 5'11", right?
Yeah.
You're
I'm
tall. 5'9". Yeah. You look like my daughter. She's 6 almost. Yes, more or less. Yeah, I'm a short guy. I'm going to keep listening to these guys. I'm going to wait for them to, you know, come up with a new album or singles or whatever, because I got plenty of time to listen to music. So I listened to their album Unfinished many times. There are many songs that I like more than others. I could mention them, but Mind of Myth, I like a lot of them, some more than others.
Sure. Makes sense.
Album. But I listen to the whole album. I don't like listening to a couple of songs and then stop and go back 2 weeks later. It seems like I don't enjoy it as much if I do that. If I stop listening just a couple of songs and then forget about it and then go back to it, it seems like I something missing. I don't get the whole thing. I don't get it. It's like I'm not getting it. The meaning of the album itself. I mean, it seems like it goes in one ear and leaves, and I forget about the other songs. Now, if I listen to the whole album, which I did many times, and you go back to a couple songs that you like more than others, and you repeat that one, and that's how it is. Like everybody else does, you know. Sometimes you listen to a song and you think, it's okay. And you forget about it. Then you go back to it. And then you start listening to little details and things that you, oh, look right there. That sounds great. I didn't pay attention before.
Have you always listened to music like that in that process?
Yes. Since I started, since I was a young kid, I never enjoyed music. I always enjoy listening to different things, like a little guitar riff. It will make the song for me just 3 seconds. I will make the song great for me. I will always pay attention to little details. Because a lot of the music is not like to say it's all the same. It's not the same, but little details make it different. Or maybe just a couple words in the song that you add, that makes the song much better. If you took that out, the song will lose its meaning. I don't know. I don't know how to say. You know, I don't speak English well. It's in my head. Like,
I think you're speaking English.
You know what I'm saying, James? Yes. Like any song,
I'm pretty sure I understand exactly what you're saying.
It could be metal, it could be pop music, anything. Just a little keyboard thing or a guitar, maybe a drum fill. That makes the sound for me, you know?
Any details count.
The details for me count a lot. You know, I could listening to a little, I don't know, anybody, David Bowie playing some keyboards in one of the albums. Just a little 3 second keyboard makes the song for me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
Or just one word or two words. It makes the song for me. Gives them a lot of meaning. It's like cooking. You put the right salt in there and makes it great. You put too much salt, the whole dish is garbage.
Yep.
Just that I want to say. I don't know. I'm trying to explain things that. And
that's a perfect analogy.
It takes time for me to make it.
Metaphor?
Yeah.
I don't speak English.
Well, is there a particular detail that you would say stands out with Shield of Wings?
I'm not going to pretend that I am a musician, so I don't know. It's just in my head. There are little things that I like. Your guitar, and I wish sometimes the guitar would be in the front a little more.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, that's what I might think. I like a big heavy bass also.
Yes.
And I love keyboards, like Nightwish.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
If there's no keyboard, it's not symphonic metal. They could play anything. It could be any other band.
Agreed.
You know, you remove the keyboards, it's not symphonic metal for me. But little keyboard also, you know, little. I'm not a musician. I don't know about flat G minor. I don't know anything about that. I just hear it.
Anyway, the feeling is.
Yeah, the feeling. It goes inside and never leaves. Or it stays there for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I'm Spanish. I don't know what I'm saying. I just love the band. And I know they can do much better than what they did in their album because I know they got the potential to do it. Thanks. You know? And I know James can write much better than what he writes because he has... Forget it. The guy that's going to listen to this interview is going to say, this guy, what is he talking about? So just might as well leave it. You know what I'm saying? And next time when James speaks Spanish and Leah also, we'll do half and half. We'll talk half in Spanish for the Spanish listeners, and then we'll do it in English.
I did study Spanish in school, but I wouldn't dare try to speak it.
Yeah, same. It's been a long time.
So I just want to wish them all the best because they deserve it. I think they do. They're nice people, you know, I could tell. I'm not going to lie. I heard them in some interviews. So they're great, good people. You know, what can I say?
Very, very kind. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm listening to I'm listening again to the podcast just because of that reason that I found out that she crazy things. It happens, yeah. You know? So now I'm listening again. And now that I see her face, now I'm going to listen a little more.
Well, thank you for that too.
Yes. So I just hope everything goes well for the band next year. They do another good album. They cannot do anything bad, because this would be impossible. They could do always better, always better. And now I think like the structure of this band is in perfect condition. And Leah is, I think it's one of, it's like glue to the band, you know, it's everything together. It's not
sticky.
You know, she's the sticky. I think James is happy having Leah.
Very.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, I think they do a good, they're doing good things. So I'll keep, you know, listening to their band. Those videos in YouTube are great. They're from that concert, which is great music. And they got a great stage presence. So take a look at those videos. They're good. And the other videos too. So what's the best way? I know they got Bandcamp where they can buy a little merch, right?
Yeah. That's the only place that we're selling merch or CDs right now.
Okay.
You can stream us everywhere.
Right.
So, and we really appreciate every stream, every listen, every view on YouTube. Means a lot.
Of
just
course.
About every comment.
Yes.
And they answer to everything. You can give them bad comments, good comments. They will still answer.
Sure.
Of course. They're there for that. They got to service the band. So just take a look at those and go in, you know, buy their album and listen to their music. Maybe you'll find things that you didn't find in other bands, you know? They got their own identity, that I know.
Thank you.
So I just appreciate them for being here, talking to me and listening to all the crazy stuff that I said. They got a lot of patience. Thanks for that. And
thank you for having us. Yes. We appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you. And see you next time, you know?
Yep.
Maybe we'll talk again.
We'd love to.
Until the
of
next
course.
Time.
So thank you very much. And see you next week. Like I always say, if you want to listen to my next interview, fine. It's not going to get better than this. So if you want to just listen to this, it's good enough. No, no. I cannot do any better. I'm trying to speak English much better, but I'm too lazy to do it. I say, I'm good enough. I'm good enough.
Great.
I'm not like a musician that says, this is good enough. I'm not going to work. No, I cannot. I wish I was. I say, I got to be better. No, that's the way it is. I'm not going to get any better. Not like Shields of Winds, they're going to get better and better. So not like me. I'll just stay there. I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
I just appreciate you didn't ask us questions in Spanish because...
Next time I'll do. Okay. I'll do that.
We'd have very limited answers for you if you did.
Yes and no. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much again. The Shields of Wings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.